The reading is, sorry, reading Psalm 1, page 543 in the Church Bibles. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the way of in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
Today is the fifth day after Christmas, and so by now, if you have children, you've seen your children play with their Christmas toys for a couple of days and maybe lose interest in one or two of them. You looked at your own gifts, and as adults, you probably had some food that you could eat, and you've well eaten now, you're still trying to get rid of some of your leftovers. You're wondering what to do with all the papers and all the mess that's in the house. And so Christmas is one of those times where we receive things that we sometimes use and we sometimes don't use. Maybe you're thinking of re-gifting some of those gifts you got. When I was growing up, one of my favorite presents to receive and to give was books. I love to receive them. I love to give books. And when I received them when I was younger, the first thing I would do was read nonstop. I would be caught up in my imagination with this book. And I think it's a real joy and a privilege to be able to read nonfiction and fiction in this way. But as a child, I taught myself the importance of skipping the preface and the dedication. I'd jump straight to chapter one, and I'll start reading, and I would enjoy the book. But I think as I get older, and as I got maybe a little bit wiser, I started to value those couple of pages, the preface and the dedication. It kind of explains a little bit about the author. It tells you a little bit about why they wrote the book, who they are. And so, as I grew older, I had to unlearn this habit. And now, when I do read a book from cover to cover, I actually do read it from cover to cover. I read the preface and I read the introduction. I read the dedication. And these allow me to know a little bit about why I'm reading this book. Psalm 1, the very first song in a book of songs is a little bit different to interpret. The Psalms are like any other, are unlike any other book in the Bible. The Psalms were written to be sung. They're written as poetry in the original languages, and each psalm in itself is not necessarily a context for the preceding psalm or the psalm following it. Although Psalm 1 kind of breaks that rule. Charles Spurgeon, he called it a preface psalm. So for Charles Spurgeon, Psalm 1 was something you read before you read the book of Psalms. It helps us to understand the rest of the Psalms. It gives us an understanding of the spiritual author of the Psalms, God Himself. This psalm shows our purpose as the righteous people of God. It begins in verse 1, by describing what we should not be like. And so remember, this is a song written in poetry, and so they use poetic forms to describe things. So that's why he begins with a negative. It shows a progression away from God. So Psalm 1 starts off, "Blessed be the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. The word wicked there can actually be translated ungodly, or someone who doesn't know God. Not necessarily what we would consider a wicked person, but rather an unrighteous person. And this verse tells the story of a man who has no knowledge of God, and maybe he goes to a public place, maybe like your school or your workplace. And while he's there, he hears people mocking Christians, or maybe bragging about something that they did that was against God's ways and God's laws. That man in time becomes one of that group, and he starts to follow in their sins. His heart starts to harden to God's call to repent and to seek forgiveness. As time goes on, then he becomes a leader in that group, and he is the one who is mocking believers and doing his best to come against those who call themselves Christians. His actions have drawn him away from the knowledge of God and have hardened his heart to hearing the truth of the gospel. Not that you need to live pure lives, but you need to be able to recognize your sin. You need to be able to allow the sacrifice of Jesus to bring you into relationship with God. And so this psalm starts off the book of Psalms by saying that if you want to be happy in God and receive His blessings, don't even start on this road. Don't even start on the road going downwards. And I encourage you, if you are on this road, maybe you're on the first part or the second part. I think if you're in the seat of the scornful, or the seat of mockers, you probably wouldn't be in church. But if you are in the first place, unknowing who God is, unrighteous, spend some time hearing His voice. Do not harden your heart today. And instead, follow verse 2. Verse 2 says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night." Now we actually read about how we are to be blessed. We are told to delight in the law of the Lord. We are told that we are to meditate. Meditation, as I spoke a little bit earlier, is a very extended process. But the actual word in Psalm 1 is actually a very poetic word. We have spoken a little bit about what it means to meditate, but this word in Hebrew, it actually means growl, like the sound that a lion makes when it growls. Maybe if you have a cat, and you have your cat at home, and you hear it make this sound, I don't know if I can make it with the microphone, but it goes, brrr, brrr. Have you heard that cat before? And it goes on and on and on. And you stroke it, and it goes brrr. And this cat continues to make the sound for a long time. And that's kind of the word that the Hebrew is talking about. It's a continuous growl. It's the sound of a word that describes the action that it means. As we meditate on God's word, it means continue to murmur what you've read that morning. Continue to speak about it. Continue to think about it. It's the word that's under your breath all day long. As you read something in the morning, you think about what God is saying to you all day long. Many of us actually meditate all the time without even realizing it. We meditate on something we hear in the news. Maybe you're watching the news in the morning and you hear something about Brexit and it's just troubling your mind. And as soon as you meet someone else, you say, "Did you hear what they said in the news today? Da 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 da." And they say, "Yes, but did you hear what they said in the newspaper? Something else?" And then together you start talking more about this and your knowledge increases, or maybe your misinformation increases. And so you get more stuff to talk about, and you meet someone else and you talk about what you've learned and you find out what they've learned, and you're excited about what's going on, but you're also scared, and all day your mind has been thinking about this one subject. And it's not just about Brexit. It could be about anything. It could be about what's happening at your school, better ways to teach your children, the latest movie or TV show. Anything can be used to meditate on, just to think about consistently. And the more friends you have who have the same interest as you, you tend to meditate on the same things. You learn more information. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work so easily with Scripture. But that is what we are told to do, to meditate on God's Word, to continuously think about what we read in the morning, to talk to others about it, and to see what they have to say. I was very encouraged when Bart was saying earlier, in an earlier sermon this year, that the time after the service is a time not just for drinking and coffee, but a time to hear what God is saying to each of us through the Word of God. Spend some time talking about what you've learned, not just on a Sunday, but every day. This is not just about daily reading your Bible because, you know, you have to. This is the religious thing to do. It's the right thing to do, and so I just do it out of habit, and then 5 minutes later, I've forgotten what I've read. But rather, it's choosing to study Scripture over other desires. It means ruminating over the Scriptures, thinking them through day by day, allowing every decision and thought we make to be permeated by the Scripture. And so it's so important for us to meditate on God's Word. The psalm continues in verse 3 by giving us a metaphor of who that person is. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. In 2013, my wife Ronali and I had a chance to go up to the mountains of Lebanon and see the cedar trees that are growing there. And one of the cedar trees we saw was this one. We are told that this is the same tree that they used to make the Lebanese flag with. This is the example tree that they used. And our guide there told us that some of the trees in that forest are over 1,000 years old, and most of them are over 200 years old. I don't know how old this tree was particularly, but it's been growing there a long time. And there are many trees, many cedars. In fact, Psalm 104, verse 16 says, "The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted." So I don't know if God planted this one, but these trees are well watered. You can see there is snow all around. We couldn't see a stream up there in the mountains, but there is snow a lot of the time of the years. And this water that comes from the snow allows these trees to grow strong. I think that cedar is a lovely picture of wisdom and grace. You know, if you know anything about Lebanon, it's a country that's been through wars, terrible wars. It's ruled by three different parties. It has an overabundance of refugees from Syria. It is a country that's torn in half. There's actually more Lebanese people living outside of Lebanon than living inside of Lebanon. But yet, these trees are able to grow for 1,000 years. And that just tells me a little bit about what the psalm is saying. That when you are well watered, when you are planted by the Lord, God will continue to keep you. Those who study and meditate on God's word will give fruit in the right season, and everything they do will prosper. Prosper is another word that is often misunderstood. We always think of prosper in prosperity terms, that it means about money. And so we read this verse and we think everything you're going to do is going to bring you money. But that's not quite the way the Hebrew word actually works. The word actually means to complete or succeed at what you're doing. This particular word has nothing to do with money. And so if you focus on God's word, meditate on it, you will complete what you set out to do. The New Testament says it in a number of different ways. It says in Luke 11:28, he replied, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. As we hear, as we listen, and as we receive God's word, we need to obey it. We need to know that God's promises are that we will succeed at what we are doing. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." I think this is sometimes what we do in our morning devotions. We have a devotional book that tells us what to read, And so we read a verse or 10 verses or however many verses, and that comes into our lives, and we think about it and we pray through it, and then we go to work and we've forgotten it. And we've forgotten what the text said. And so James very clearly says, if we're not going to obey God's word after reading it or hearing it, we're actually deceiving ourselves. We're actually just doing that process of reading the Bible for nothing. It has to have a purpose. It has to have a purpose to change us and to make us into who we're supposed to be. Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Often around this time of the year, we want to make a New Year's resolution. Who makes New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Some of you? I think it's always interesting, the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, he makes a New Year's resolution, he posts it online, and sometimes they are fantastic ones, like one year he wanted to learn Mandarin. But last year he said, for this year's resolution, he was going to fix Facebook. And if you know anything about the news, this year was not the year that he fixed Facebook. But we all make promises about different things that we're going to do, some things that we're going to complete in the course of the year. Unfortunately, sometimes those promises aren't actually the ones we end up keeping. But we do have a promise from God in Psalm 1 that says we will succeed when we focus on God and His Word. We will have His peace while being obedient. That is a great promise to know, that God has our back. He is there for us. The psalm continues again, looking back at those who do not know God. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Chaff versus the cedar. Which would you rather be? Here is a promise that those unbelievers cannot stand where the godly will one day stand. At some point, they will become like that chaff, that useless part of the corn that is just blown away while the rest of the corn is used for its purpose. There will come a time when judgment will take place and God will gather His faithful ones into His assembly. And if you have not come to accept the grace of God, then you will have to face the wrath of God. Romans 5 says it quite accurately. It says in verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people, because all people sinned. We are all sinners. We have come into a world that is plagued by sin. We are not able to do it by ourselves. But thankfully, Romans 5 doesn't end there. A few verses later, in verses 18 to 19, we hear about Jesus. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man that many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of that one man, many will be made righteous. Yes, this is a world of sin. Yes, this is a world where things are wrong, where things go bad. But Jesus came into this world, as we celebrated a few days ago. He came and He lived a pure and a spotless life. He lived a holy life. He was a man without sin. But He went to the cross. He died on the cross, taking our unrighteousness and trading it for His righteousness. And on the cross, He removed the wrath of God from us and placed it on Himself. We have been made righteous because of the cross, because of the resurrection. And so now, if we are the righteous, then as Psalm 1 finishes off, we can know a little bit more about what God promises us. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The promise that God has for us is that our way will be watched over by God. our way, our life will be there for him. The Lord watches over those and keeps them. And those who do not choose him at some point will perish. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And as we start this new year off, I want you to really desire to seek God. It's all right to start a plan to read the Bible in a year or 2 years, but just for religious sake, it has no purpose. But as the new year begins, think about how to love God more, how to serve God more. And as you love God and choose him, you will love his word. You will love to seek him in the mornings and in the evenings and in the afternoons and all through the day. You will love to pray without ceasing and to seek after him. For my conclusion, I'm going to ask us to do the conclusion together. You know, when I spoke about how to meditate earlier in the service, one of the things I said was to personalize the scripture. And so I'm going to ask us all to stand together and read this psalm together, but personalized for us. And as you read it, consider your resolutions for this year. Plan to be the person who seeks God. Not just because you have to or because someone told you to, but because you love him. Let's stand together. We're going to read this. I've reworded it a little bit. This is not the exact Bible version, but this is slightly personalized, so we can read it together. Blessed am I, for I do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, neither do I stand in the way of sinners, nor do I stand in the seat of the mockers. But my delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law I meditate day and night. I shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever I do prospers, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over me, the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you that you are our God, that you do love us, that you do have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, that every single one of our days was written before even one came to pass. And Father, as we stand before you, we just ask, Lord, that you would watch over us, that you would allow us to love you, to serve you, to honor you, to obey you, to be your people as you're our God. Keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.